GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Occasionally, a case causes our eyebrows to rise. And as was the case of the Tennessee truck driver, I believe Randall Weddle Jr., his name, caused a serious crash in the town of Washington a couple of years back, and two people died. He appealed his sentence. The Maine Supreme Court said, no, we're going to uphold the sentence. But they did make an interesting statement about mandatory drawing of blood by law enforcement and the Fourth Amendment. And we picked up the phone and called Brett Baber of Lanham, Blackwell & Baber, our partners in legal briefs. And George, he's on line three this morning with insight into this interesting statement from the high courts.
Yeah, Brett, it was a very interesting statement. It was a reversal of the Supreme Court, which had previously upheld the constitutionality of a 2007 law. The Supreme Court has issued some further guidance. So where are we here?
Well, you're right. It's not every day or even every year when the Supreme Judicial Court overturns its prior precedent. What we're talking about is a statute that the legislature had passed, basically saying if police come upon an automobile crash or a vehicle crash where there are people that have died or are likely to die, the police didn't need probable cause to take a blood sample out of a driver, but they could take a blood sample and ask questions later. And if they develop probable cause later on that the driver was indeed under the influence at the time of the crash, they could use that blood draw to prove up their case that the driver was under the influence. The problem in the Weddle case was that Mr. Weddle, the truck driver, he was pinned in the vehicle, and the police did not have any evidence at the time that he was under the influence at the time he allegedly caused the crash. So the law court, relying on Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, very basic jurisprudence, blood draw is a search. It's a search of the person. And under the Fourth Amendment, requires probable cause at the time of taking the blood sample. So the law court said that the statute, by allowing for blood samples to be taken without probable cause, was unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. Now, ordinarily, you'd think, well, Mr. Weddle would win. He would be free from incarceration, and he got a very lengthy prison sentence out of it. But the law court ruled that the police officers acted in good faith based upon the statute, and they recognized a good faith exception to the exclusionary rule, which basically says if you seize evidence unconstitutionally, that evidence that was seized unconstitutionally is inadmissible. But in this instance, the law court went ahead, notwithstanding the unconstitutionality, and allowed it into evidence.
Day after the statement from Maine Supreme Court, we had Supreme Court Chief Justice Lee Softly on our program. It was after her State of the Judiciary. We asked if she might share some insight, and she almost humorously said, well, I'll refer you to the court's decision. The other thing that happened the day after is the Attorney General's office, Aaron Fry, then issuing, I guess, a clarifying statement to law enforcement in Maine saying, all right, you do need probable cause. Can you take us down that road for a second and what constitutes probable cause for wondering whether or not that law enforcement is going to be able to draw blood?
Sure. The two pieces that are required, well, actually two pieces and one piece is in the alternative. The first piece is probable cause, and the police need probable cause of the identity of the driver and that the suspected driver was indeed under the influence. So let's say there was a car crash, nobody was wearing seatbelts, and everybody gets jumbled up inside the vehicle. You may not know who the driver is, let alone who was under the influence. So you need probable cause of the identity of the driver and they're under the influence. So the police would be looking at the driver, the suspected driver, whether there was the odor of alcohol, you know, the bloodshot eyes, the slurred speech, that sort of stuff. What the driver's driving was like before the crash. So if somebody reported to the police, they were weaving all over the place and then all of a sudden caused this crash, that would be evidence to go toward probable cause, whether they found alcohol containers in the vehicle. So they need probable cause. Now, with probable cause, then you need something else. You need either a search warrant from a judge, or you need exigent circumstances. And the Supreme Court a few, in 2013 held that just the fact that alcohol dissipates over time, there's a scientific formula that we could get into some other time, but alcohol dissipates over time. The Supreme Court says, no, we're not going to recognize that as exigent circumstances in all cases, but the law court and the Supreme Court has said if there's more evidence showing of exigent circumstances, meaning it's going to be very, very difficult to get a search warrant in the time it takes when this evidence might be lost. So, for example, the police want to go into an apartment and somebody's heard flushing drugs down the toilet. That's an exigent circumstance. They wouldn't need a warrant. Likewise, in the Weddle case, the law court said that there were exigent circumstances in that case, but there wasn't probable cause. So the lesson in Weddle is you need both. You either need probable cause and exigent circumstances, or a search warrant. And that's where the police are going to have some decision-making to do out in the field when they're, in these heat-of-the-moment situations. They've got to decide, do we have exigent circumstances, or do we need to go find a judge at 2 or 3 in the morning or whatever time the crash might have occurred?
You know, the Fourth Amendment is all, it's always a difficult thing to make sure you're going to get it right, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, etc. Now, for the layman, the court invokes an exception here because the officer relied on a law that was deemed constitutional at the time. I'm wondering here now, Weddle obviously is in jail for 25 years. He's got a lawyer. What do you think the chances of appeal on this is?
Well, this is a prime case for a possible appeal to the Supreme Court because it does touch on the constitutionality of this statute. And Mr. Weddle, even though it was unconstitutional, the law court recognized this good faith exception. Now, I will note the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized the good faith exception for 20 or 30 years as an exception to the exclusionary rule. And that exclusionary rule, again, is if police seize evidence that's unconstitutionally seized at the time, the exclusionary rule would say, no, you can't introduce that evidence in the court. And usually that means case over, defendant walks away. But in this instance, the law court said there was good faith on the part of the police and recognized the good faith exception. First time the law court has recognized the good faith exception, but again, the Supreme Court has recognized it many, many years. So I expect Mr. Weddle's attorneys will file a petition for certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a legal document requesting permission to appeal. But I would suspect that given the well-established law of good faith exceptions, that the petition would be denied.
I have no idea the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Legal Briefs, Brett Baber of Lanham, Blackwell & Baber. And following up on the main Supreme Court statement on Fourth Amendment blood draws, does this now open the door for defense attorneys to now come back and say, well, in 2018 and 2017 and 2016, my client did this. It appears that they acted improperly in drawing this blood. And now with this statement, now it's time for this to be reconsidered. And maybe my client deserves a lesser sentence or maybe an acquittal.
Well, there's the fellow back in 2007, Mr. Cormier, took it to the law court, the same statute in the law court in 2007, found the statute constitutional, overruled in this case. Everybody before this case, I do not think gets off the hook or gets another bite at the apple, because you'd have the same good faith exception. The police were relying on a statute. They were relying on law court precedent that said the statute was unconstitutional. So it's pretty much going forward only. So people in the past, unfortunately, are not going to have the benefit of this decision, I don't think. But going forward, the law court will now hold police accountable. So if they seize blood without probable cause, the evidence will be excluded and making for a very difficult prosecution.
The Maine Supreme Judicial Court issued the ruling based on good faith exception because the police officer applied the law as it was then known. But it was not a unanimous decision, as I understand it. There were two justices, I believe, Alexander and Clifford, who didn't sign on. Is that right?
Correct. Justices Alexander and Justice Clifford, and he was serving in an active retired capacity, interestingly, because one of the other judges had retired from the law court. So those two justices would have upheld the constitutionality of the statute. So they agreed with the result that Mr. Weddle's conviction was legitimate, but they would have upheld the constitutionality of the statute. They would not have reversed course in finding the statute unconstitutional. Hmm. There was a very lengthy dissent in the case.
Someone sends us a note, and I don't know if anyone here in this conversation, I tried to look it up very quickly. Aren't truck drivers required to submit to a blood test after any accident, and therefore implied consent exists? I don't know if that is the case. I suppose asking it, and a trucker listening to us is likely going to text us an answer. I don't know if you came across any of that in your research, Brett.
Well, there was an analysis in this case, which we skipped over in the interest of time, called the special needs doctrine. And if blood's drawn for a non-law enforcement need, for example, you know, deterring truck drivers, that statute is going to face a similar analysis. Now, the police, I don't think, relied upon that statute in this instance. Truck drivers that are required as part of their truck driving license to give a blood sample might challenge the constitutionality of that statute as well. There are these nuanced cases of special need where there are times where blood or other types of samples are taken from people, like in the workplace, that have been upheld on the special need doctrine. If you go by this case, I think that statute might be declared unconstitutional for the same reasons. We still have a search going on. So as long as there's probable cause, you know, most of the time the police are going to have probable cause at the scene of who the operator was and that there is evidence that the driver was impaired under the influence of alcohol. In fact, in this case, one of the ambulance attendants, a first responder, actually had developed some evidence, but that was unknown to the police at the time they made the blood draw. So again, it's going to be case by case as the Supreme Court has directed regarding exigent circumstances. The police will have to decide on the scene. Do we have probable cause? Do we have exigent circumstances? Or while we're on the way to the hospital, can another police officer be going, waking up a judge and getting a warrant?
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.